In the last video, we saw that when we sin, we lose our peace, and when we sincerely repent, our conscience is cleared and God's peace returns. This is made clear in Hebrews 10:22 also, where it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." Repenting of sin always brings God's peace. God's peace is in fact our guide in all matters, not just for sin. Philippians 2:13 tells us, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So we can see that God works in our heart to guide us to serve him in thought, word and deed. When we are in God's will, we will have his peace. But when we don't have that peace, we need to look to him for guidance. We only need to ask for wisdom and we will receive it, as James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." God is always on hand to guide us, and this is made clear in Ezekiel 36:26 and 27, where he said, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." God gives believers a new heart and the Holy Spirit to move us to follow him, and when we are in his will, Isaiah 26:3 says about God, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." So, understanding God's peace is the key to knowing his will. A very important point to be aware of is that there is a false peace, which comes from our sinful nature or from the devil. If we have peace about something that is not biblical, then clearly that peace does not come from God. I heard of a man who said that God told him to leave his wife and marry another woman. I guess he had peace about it because he did, despite God saying in Malachi 2:16, "I hate divorce." We can be sure that any peace the man may have had did not come from God. When we are misguided and have this false peace, God still puts a check in our conscience to tell us we're sinning. However, the more we ignore this check and continue to follow our lusts, the harder our heart will get, and the Lord's voice will get more and more difficult to hear. Hebrews 3:15-13 say, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, and encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We all very much need to seriously listen to the quiet inner voice of God, to believe what is written, and to seek the advice of godly friends. Of course, things are not always clear, and at times it can be hard to determine why we lack peace. When we are praying about peace, the most important point to consider is Jesus' command to love one another. If an issue is causing us to be unloving, like when we want to be first or think we are better than someone, then we clearly need to repent. Also, some people remain angry with fellow Christians and won't be reconciled, saying, "It's not my fault." The fact is, these angry souls need to heed Jesus' words in Matthew 5:22-24, where he said, "Anyone who is angry with his brother will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." We can be sure that if we are not welcome at God's earthly altar, then we certainly won't be welcome at his heavenly one. Because in Matthew 6:15, Jesus tells us, "If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." 1 John 4:20 and 3:15 also make this point very clear, where they say, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar and a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." To anyone in such a situation, I must say to you, be reconciled or be damned. As well as false peace, there is also false guilt, which comes from our accuser, the devil. We know that when we have confessed a sin, it is forgiven, and that should be the end of it. However, the devil will keep reminding us of how bad we are, and when he does, we need to follow Paul's advice in Philippians 3:13, where he said, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." So we should confess and then move on, rejecting the devil's accusations, which only keep us wallowing in false guilt and self-pity. In theory, following the Lord's voice is simple enough, but our sinful nature complicates it. There have been times when I've asked God why I lack peace, and he has given me the answer only to have me say, "Nah, that can't be right, I must be listening to the devil." I had asked God for wisdom, and when he gave me an answer that I didn't like, I dismissed it. We really have to believe that when we pray for wisdom, we have received it, because James 1:6-8 tell us that when anyone asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. We must learn to trust God fully, and not just when it suits us, otherwise we'll be on unstable ground. Proverbs 3:5-6 tell us to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When we plant our feet firmly on the rock of salvation, we will be on solid ground. There are things which are not clear in the Bible, as they are really a matter of personal choice. For example, I wear thongs whenever possible, so wearing them to church seemed okay to me, but one day I got convicted, so I upgraded to sandals. I don't condemn those who wear thongs to church, and I hope that those who wear shoes don't condemn me. These sort of issues are matters of personal faith, and I think that we should look to Romans 14:23 as our guide, where it says, "Everything that does not come from faith is sin." I had no peace about wearing thongs, but I do have peace about sandals. Other verses to consider when seeking guidance for our actions are 1 Corinthians 10:31 and 32, which say, "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble." So if, even in faith, we do something that is seriously bothering someone, then we should, for their sake, consider stopping so that we don't cause anyone to stumble. Another very common way to lose all peace, especially in ministry, is by trying to work in our own strength. The Lord wants us to be available so that he can work through us, but we try to do it all, even though we know that he can do in a moment what we could not do in 1,000 lifetimes. I often start the day by telling the Lord I'm his, but I still have my own agenda, and when it gets interrupted, I get agitated. How can the Lord guide me in his service when I'm not available? He can't. But the good news is that as we repent of being annoyed, we do get into step with God and don't get agitated and anxious when distractions occur. Philippians 4:6-7 bring this point home, where it says, "Do not get anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but our Heavenly Father does, and if we go to him for wisdom, then we'll find the truth. I do know that we always need to deal with sin from the very moment it begins its work in our mind. When our thoughts are lustful, angry, critical, bitter, selfish, or sinful in any other way, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, "Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And James 1:14-15 give us the reason why, where it says, "Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So if we entertain a sinful thought rather than rejecting it, it can lead us into sin and may eventually have awful consequences, because the wages of sin is death, and that death is eternity in hell. In the next video, I'd like to examine the doctrine of eternal security, also called once saved, always saved. I have other videos, and one that may be of interest to you is called Love One Another. The link to my YouTube videos is given at the end of this video. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.